You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with our arch-nemesis, those liars over at Buffering the Vampire Slayer. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the Cordelia Chase of the Bufferingverse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad, bang, bang, a.k.a. Forever Alone, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's Red Hair Streak, a.k.a. Daddy, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come next season.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Bufferingverse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad, Pow Pow, a.k.a. forever LaToya's little baby, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's white hair streak because rogue, a.k.a. I'll accept it. I'll accept that LaToya is daddy. For now, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come next season.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 4, Episode 22, Home. Home was written and directed by Tim Minear. It aired on the WB on May 7th, 2003.
And this is the one where Team Angel tours Wolfram and Hart and decides they're gonna take it, baby.
Before we do, previously on Angel, just letting you know that our lovely fan Scooby compatriot Bree sent us a TV rip for this episode. So we watched this episode, commercials and all.
Oh my God, this was a religious experience. Thank you, Bree.
I was like, I know I watched this episode live, and then all these, so many of these commercials, I'm like, how are they still stuck in my brain?
Oh, yeah. Some of these are really burned in there. I found a lot of them, like, I was gasping when I would see the beginning of a commercial I recognized. I would be like, oh, like another one. It was honestly a thrill.
It was banger after banger after banger. Yeah, so we are hit with first WB commercials during the credits for Dawson's Creek, the penultimate episode of the series, and they are promoting season finale Friday on the WB. First, the season one finale of What I Like About You.
Woo!
Then the season one / series finale of Greetings from Tucson, starring Amy Garcia, aka our favorite angel teen, Cynthia.
Cynthia! Play the Cynthia jingle.
Play it right now. And then, of course, the Reba season 2 finale, Barbara Jean's got a secret.
Is it that she's pregnant?
I think it is. If I remember correctly, I think I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
She's sticking her head through a window and being like, I can't tell anyone my secret. It's great. I love it.
And then we have also the Grounded for Life season 3 finale, which was like the first season where it started airing on the WB after being on Fox. We get some Autumn Reeser in there. She was basically recurring on there until she jumped over to the OC. So she went back to Fox.
I did scream. I couldn't believe that.
I'm sorry, your voice is so emotional.
I screamed. Michael, a fan of Grounded for Life. I can't believe he wasn't like, she was in Grounded for Life in every single Taylor Townsend scene, the OC. So I want to say thank you to him for that.
Michael, a man of taste.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the WB Wednesday continues with the season finale of Angel. TV doesn't do it like this anymore. You see on the screen, the WB presents Angel. Let us know this is an event, people.
Feels good, feels organic. Like, honestly, felt like appointment TV. Like, this is why people aren't watching this shit anymore. There's no incentive. Like, that felt cinematic. That felt exciting.
Yeah, I want to know that a network is presenting something.
Yeah.
I think maybe FX does it.
FX always presents Mr. Robot.
I don't know how so, because Mr. Robot was not an FX show, so.
Oh, USA was always presenting Mr. Robot. They were presenting the fuck out of it, though.
Previously on Angel. Angel looks at the ultrasound. I'm going to have a son. Remember how happy he was? Remember how happy we were?
Mr. Dad.
This child, the one good thing, blah, blah, blah. Then she stakes herself. The baby's on the ground in the rain. Daniel Holtz is taking the baby away forever. Wolfman Hart, Holland, after he's dead, is telling Angel on the way to the home office, the firm's always been here, which, yeah, that's important for the Lila of it all. Mm-hmm. We go on, no matter what, post-coital Wes and Lila in bed. So much has happened in this show from season 2 on, I realize. Mm-hmm. Wes thinks Angel has killed Lila, so he has to chop her head off. He apologizes to her as her ghost watches. Connor shows up as the destroyer and says, hi, Dad. We get the rain of fire and Cordy telling Connor he's so pathetic that they should fuck. And then also in terms of things that track, like the way Jasmine preying on the fact that Connor like never had a childhood or family or anything that's real. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, good job, Jasmine.
If you want to go back to that scene for any reason, you just like just imagine Jasmine saying those words and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Connor asks what Jasmine did to Cordy, and then you see Cordy on an altar. Connor thinks his whole life's a lie. He tells Jasmine he still loves her, but then he kills her anyway. Angel tells the gang what happened, and then Connor's given up, and he thinks he's going to do something. And then Lila enters and says, well, they got rid of world peace. And then the episode starts off right where the peas end, because you know I love that shit.
Hell yeah. My first note is all caps, Lila with 3 hearts. I'm so thrilled to see her. Let's speak about her outfit briefly. Leather skirt, lace top, bringing all of the good elements. And there's a little tie at her neck to cover her neck slit, which absolutely fucking owns. Good for her.
It rules.
Sexy.
Also, those previouslys were like a minute long, by the way. If you couldn't tell from my retelling.
No, I remembered. I was like, this is a big set of peas. LaToya's gonna have her work cut out for her.
I did.
Lila just, like, she's having fun. She's enjoying it. She just came from hell, and she'd love a glass of ice water.
Yeah. She hasn't got her earth legs back, it seems.
No. Wes is like, it can't be her. But she's like, there's a signed dollar in your wallet that says otherwise. And I'm like, you know he kept it.
And then Angel knows about the perpetuity clause because of Holland, which is why that's in the previously. So he's like, yep, it's her.
Yeah. Lila refers to Wes as my Wesley and then calls him lover. I'm dead. This is what I deserved. It is so rude of them to have killed her. And she says, you know, she's not here to do anything but be the messenger. You know, she'll be sent back to hell once she's made her pitch. And Angel asks her, what's your game, Lila? To which she replies,
no game. In fact, game over. Guess what? You win, which is why I'm here. I have been authorized to make you kids an offer.
You can't possibly think there's anything we'd want from you.
I don't think you'll want it. But you'll take it. Because this is the offer of a lifetime. Just not, you know, mine.
Good bit.
Good bit.
Honestly, a good bit. We go to titles and we experience our first commercial break.
Yes. The season finale of Angel is brought to you by Ford.
Did you hear that Ford is not, like, it's actually, like, four cool young women now? Did you hear that Fords are for us now?
I mean, have you looked at Ford lately?
I guess not enough. I guess I gotta buy myself a Ford.
If you haven't looked at Ford lately, look again. Yeah, I was looking into this. It's like they were really trying to appease like an early aughts audience. And I noticed that for like other commercials, like fast foods have salads now, ladies.
Oh, yeah. Like all of the commercials were very like geared towards young women. And I was like, hell yeah.
2003, they're things. Like, women do things too, right? They're active.
Women love salad.
They love salad.
At McDonald's.
And Jack in the Box. That's where you want to get your salads. But yeah, in April 2004, they're like, fuck that. And they switch back to like Macho, built for the road ahead. And I feel like that's still the Ford logo, or like I've heard it a lot.
The brand has not really changed. Like this seems like their last time that they were like, maybe we're another kind of thing.
They should go back to Girl Boss Ford. I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one resonated the most with me, a girl boss.
And then we had two girl bosses in the next commercial.
Fuck. Our next L'Oreal hair dye commercial features Beyoncé.
Natalie Imbruglia and Beyoncé Knowles. Yes, she has both names, people.
Two fucking icons. With I was thrilled.
They're playing an instrumental of Ladies' Night during it.
Because it's ladies' night.
And because you're worth it.
We are. Then after that, it's Domino's.
I remember the free pizza day thing. And I was like, oh, why is this like something I have in my mind?
I remember.
I could be a scientist, but I have this in my mind.
This and knowledge of everything that ever aired on the WB. Then a classic anti-smoking PSA.
Oh, yeah,
they
truth.
Did a great job with those. Do we all stopped smoking, you know?
We all stopped smoking. I haven't seen a single person on this Zoom smoke since then.
Nope. And then the Venus Razor. Would you believe it? It's available in pink now.
Passion pink. A scandalous new color.
That's new and noted. What color was it first? Was it the little blue?
It was either blue or purple.
Yeah. I think I remember having the little blue one. Yeah, but now it's pink because it's for girls.
I have the pink one. I have the scandalous passion pink in my bathroom.
Ooh, passion pink, baby. Classic, I'm your Venus. Like, I was so happy. Two miles to the beach.
I do wonder, though, how much money has Bananarama made from them using their song for this ad campaign? Like, it must be billions of dollars, correct?
Yeah, I assume, like, a crazy amount, because they were using that shit left and right. We come back from commercials, and we experience a very awkward silence, you know?
It's so good.
Guessed,
such a good bit. This is like another solid minute.
Fully like a minute of them just all sitting around like, oh, brother. Like, can you believe? And, you know, we haven't heard Lila's pitch, but, you know, you can guess it's Wolfram and Hart related.
I just gotta say, as I've said a lot, especially in the season, things that like people stole from Angel because of what it was doing on TV. I feel like Happy Endings stole from this. It's like a Happy Endings bit.
This does feel like a Happy Endings bit. Gunn breaks the silence. He's like, I would love to hear that, like, hear that once more. And Lila explains, the senior partners are ceding territory to them. The LA office and all of its staff and everything in it is theirs if they want it.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, the building is back and it's zombie free and it's all restaffed. That's a spicy meatball. You know?
Poor Gavin. Poor dead ass Gavin.
Give me him back. Give me Gavin.
They destroyed his perpetuity clause.
Yeah, I guess they thought it wasn't worth it.
It's like Wes looking through the files. It's like, okay, Lila's, Lindsay's, like Collins, Linwood's. Huh. No Gavin.
No Gavin here.
but don't worry, guys. Gavin's fine. Lost starts the next season. We're all good.
Yeah, Daniel Day Kim is getting that money. So, according to Lila, she says, this is a reward for ending world peace. Aren't you excited? Great job. She gives them thumbs up. I write in my notes, Lila in a lace top and a leather skirt. I'm cheating in fuck watch.
It's her in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
But did you also do her talking to Wesley when she was dead? Did you do that? Did you do it for her then too?
Nah.
Just making sure.
So Fred, however, she's in denial. She's like, no, we ended a nefarious world domination scheme, not world peace. Right?
Whoops.
Baby girl.
She is so offended by the ending world piece of it all.
She is, really. She's like, that's not what we did. Like, please don't misrepresent it.
Cut to the looting and rioting. The looting and polluting that Captain Planet was opposed to.
Yeah, Los Angeles is looking a little rough. People are breaking shop windows and running around. And
stealing
in the middle
TVs.
Of it all is Connor Angel. And he sees someone up on the roof, and he decides, hey, that's my thing. So he goes up there to, you know, yell at the guy, I guess. On top of the roof, there is a cop, and he is pacing, and he is talking about how he lost something. And he hopes Connor can help him look. Connor's like, I don't think I can fucking help you, man. You know, I'm, like, fucked up and from hell.
Yeah, he's like, I think it's gone, what he's looking for, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, that sucks. And then the scene could have ended there.
But Connor stops this guy from shooting himself, which
scene could have ended there.
Yeah. And he's like, why don't you go home? And then the guy opens his wallet and looks at a picture of his family and is like, they're my home. And Connor's
scene
like,
could have ended there.
Yeah, and Connor's like, that's your family, not your home. And he gets really mad.
No. He's not mad about the family, not your home.
But
it's the fact that he was going to kill himself. Yeah, he was going to leave, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like freaking out. And he's like, you're going to leave your fucking family, dude. And he beats the shit out of this guy.
Does he beat him to death is the question.
That is what I wonder. And I would assume, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, got into my head, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Someone really wants you to answer this question.
Yeah. For all the people who are desperate to know. Really grim. So obviously we see Connor is not in a good place.
That
not
boy ain't right.
That's for sure. So back in the Hyperion office, Wes is working on finding Connor and, like, Cordelia and, like, triangulating their location based on, you know, where Angel fought Jasmine and stuff like that. Mm. Gunn feels like it'll take weeks. Could be nice to have a turnkey state-of-the-art operation.
And again, the boys are back because Gunn immediately goes to Wes and talks about this because, like, he is the one he can go to and talk to about this.
I cannot get over it. In this scene, there's a moment coming up that, like, absolutely, like, floored me. So, like, Wes is like, no, I'm, like, not into that. And Gunn is like, but aren't you tired of sticking pins in maps and blowing dust off books? And then he, like, realizes he kind of, like, just belittled Wes and, like, his contributions. And he's like, ah, shit, like, fuck, I shouldn't have said that. And he's like, it must have been hard seeing Lila. Wes's face when Gunn not only apologizes, but then goes and extends further grace to be like, you just had a really rough thing happen to you, didn't you? The pain in his eyes, the shock at the fact that he is once again allowed to have a friend, I was dead. I was like, the boys are back. This is what I've needed. Let's keep this the fuck up.
Like, and I was like, Wes, don't shut down. And then he, like, he calls Lila a loved one. It says it's a figure of speech, but he still called her a loved one.
Oh, did he? I didn't notice.
Take a screenshot of that quick. Hold on. Boom.
Yeah, my notes say loved one in very big words with hearts around it. And under loved one, it says noun, colon, one who is loved.
Yeah, that's what a loved one is.
He loved her, and like, Gunn's like, loved one? And Wes is like, I don't know if to figure his speech. And I write in my notes, shut up, nerd. You love her.
Me during later Wesley scenes, shut up, nerd, but not about Wesley.
Yeah. Then in the lobby, Lauren comes in. He's like, it's a mess out there. Angel's like, whatever, we'll find Connor and Cordy no matter what it takes.
He doesn't just say it's a mess out there. He's just a mess out there even compared to earlier in this season.
Gunn tries to talk about Wolfram and Hart, and Angel just like jumps down his throat. It's like, we're not doing that.
I'm going to go fight my son.
Fuck you. And Angel's like, look, if anyone like gets in that limo that Wolfram and Hart is sending, that's going to be waiting at dawn, they'll already be corrupted before they even walk in the door.
I mean, it's a point. It's a good point.
It's a good point, but it's like, all right, drama queen.
But you know he's not being a drama queen. He is a drama queen. We all know this, but like, he's not being a drama queen.
I know this is serious. I just feel like, stop yelling at your friends, dude. Like, it's not the best way to communicate. So Angel leaves to go find Connor. Gunn is like, fine, I'm fucking going to bed. And Wes leaves very weirdly and is like, ah, yes, I suppose I must go home as well. And then Fred's like,
what the fuck?
What the fuck, you fucking weirdos?
Yeah, she's... Oh, also, like, in the background, Lauren's just like, he's drinking.
Yeah, congrats to Lauren.
I guess in like, Angel's fridge with, like, the blood, it also has, like, Lauren's cocktail mix.
I would assume, yeah. So then we see later, like late at night, early morning, mm-hmm. Fred is sneaking out of the Hyperion to the limo. Out in the courtyard, she sees the limo and Wes and Gunn.
Yes.
They all are heading for the limo together and they're like, who'd think, you know, the humans would be so easily corrupted. And then who emerges from the shadows? But Angel, who says, what the hell, and walks over to the limo himself.
Where, when he opens the door, Lauren is already in there. He's been in there.
The music is blasting. He is having a great, he's listening to tunes, he's got his drink, and he's chatting with the driver. And he's like, so this is like an evil limo, huh?
Should we be worried about Lauren's drinking?
I mean...
It has increased the season, but also... It makes a lot of sense.
I mean, end of days, you know, I'd say maybe a little, but like it's lower on our list of priorities than like, you know, when the sun was out and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, I can extend him a little grace during this difficult time.
Okay.
So we go to Wolfram and Hart and we enter the new lobby. There's marble. It's big. And everyone there is saying good morning to Mr. Angel. Good morning, awesome. Mr. Angel. Wild. And Angel's like, I hate so many people speaking to me. Then, you know, we reveal the big, beautiful office and we cut to commercial once more.
Yes. The season finale of Angel will continue in just moments. I mean, this is how you keep people engaged and from flipping channels. Honestly, learn from the past, people.
Yeah, and I saw some beautiful footage of David Boreanaz, of J.R.S. Richards, and like Amy Acker, and they were gorgeous.
I was surprised, actually. I was like, oh, the WB backlot, because like, so this was the era of the Image campaign happening, because I could hear from like the instrumental. It was the cover of Who Do You Love by Lilix. So we're in that era, and I was surprised because obviously it was going to be Boreanaz. It used to be Boreanaz and Charisma, mm-hmm. and I was surprised to see Jay actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, and Amy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, whoa! I didn't remember this. They got in on the WB backlot, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. When they were telling us earlier that it was presented by Ford, like in the bottom left corner, you saw a little Michigan J Frog. I'm like, this is what the WB had that like a lot of networks, like actually no, a lot of networks at the time did have it. I don't think they have them as much anymore. It's like brand identity. Like, yeah. every network, like Fox, especially at this time, had an identity. Mm-hmm. ABC had an identity. Like, that was something that drew you in, and like it made you a loyalist to these networks too. And I think that's a thing that's lacking and people aren't putting effort into, especially in terms of like the marketing. Because we always talk about how shows aren't marketed enough, but also like networks aren't marketed enough either.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because especially like that incentivizes you to try new shows that you might not have tried. Like if you are like a brand loyalist to a certain extent, like that means you're like, of course, yeah, hey, there's a new WB thing on. Like, yeah, I'll check it out and see if like I'm going to add it to my roster. Like that results in you seeing something that maybe wasn't marketed directly to you, but that you might still enjoy. And I feel like now everything is so like micro-marketed that people are only watching the shit that is exactly for them, and they're missing out on a lot of stuff they would probably like.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks. But you know who doesn't suck? The Marines.
The few.
Fucking Army.
The proud. The fucking mountain climbing like they're in fucking MI2.
Goddamn.
there's that. There's the remake of The In-Laws with Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks. Like the two like big movie trailers in this one, they both are panned because we have a Luke Wilson, Kate Hudson movie coming up, rom-com in the commercials too, and that also failed. It's got Michelle Branch playing in the trailer.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. Well, I should have seen it.
Oh boy. Alex then and Emma is the name of the movie.
I saw that at Blockbuster. Then a 7-Up commercial, just as we said.
We're in our Godfrey era, just like we fucking called it.
Hell yes.
Crash Test Dummy commercial. Do they still have Crash Test Dummy commercials? Because, like, people can't drive and they need to know.
No, and the crash test dummies were smoking weed, and that's why they crashed their car.
Yeah.
And they were like, weed, it's more dangerous than you think.
PSA like, synergy.
If inanimate objects are smoking it, yeah.
This is good. Then we get our first salad commercial.
McDonald's salads for women.
And then I'm assuming your favorite commercial, and I'm going to quote it. I wrote it exactly down.
Please.
On the WB Thursday, Vin Diesel, you loved him in XXX and the Fast and the Furious. Now get ready to see a whole new side of Vin. The dark side. Woo! Superstar Vin Diesel.
Superstar Vin Diesel.
In the broadcast premiere of Pitch Black, Thursday on the WB.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I yelled. I was
Superstar Vin Diesel.
Superstar. And correct. Yeah. He's Groot.
Yo, so Groot. Was
fucking thrilled. And then Angel started, and I was like, boo, more commercial. No, this is a very good episode. So Lila shows up at Wolfram and Hart. She's rocking a fuchsia blouse with another little neck thing. Heart in my notes. And she has a guide for each of them. And Angel's like, I see. You're trying to like divide and conquer and make us weak. However, Gunn has gotten an eye on who he believes his guide is going to be. And she's a pretty black lady, and he would like to go with her.
Yeah, he goes full himbo. So this is actress Merle Dandridge. This was actually her first thing. She's, like, done a bunch of stuff. She was, like the lead FBI agent in season one of The Flight Attendant. She's also about to star in The Last of Us as the character Marlene, which she originated in the video game.
Oh, shit. Cool. Good for her. She is very pretty, and she is quite taken. Lila's like, well, why don't, you know, if, would it make you feel better to have these big, huge guns with you for protection?
It makes Fred feel better.
Fred picks up a big gun, and there's like a two shot of her like messing with the gun and Lila behind her just smiling. And I was like, this is my brand. These are my girls. So they set Lorne up with an entertainment agent, and he learns right away that Wolfram and Hart has a bunch of clients. He's like, oh, I would never actually do that unless, and then he looks at the list. Oh, it's everyone I ever wanted to meet. And I'm like, Wolfram and Hart would manage Lea Michele and they would get me like that. They'd be like, Morgan,
Immediately. We have Leah. We have Adam Driver.
I'd be like, where do I sign? Terrible person.
It's me. It's like, so we have Tessa Thompson. We have Mackenzie Davis. I'm out here.
We have Sam Witwer. Done.
Done, done, done.
So she sends Wes off with what my notes say is a dusty old dude.
Oh, my notes say Wes meets a stuffy Brit who's basically his dad.
Yeah.
This man, I'm like, we haven't met Wes's dad, and I'm like, this is his dad.
This is his dad. And Gunn is set up with exactly who he thought he was going to be set up with. Her name is Lacey, and she calls him Chuck. She's trying to fuck.
She's down to fuck Chuck?
Yeah. He's like, are you going to corrupt me? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know, dude. This is a workplace. And Fred gets set up with Knox, the science guy, who is the actor from Firefly from The Message, and also from Conversations with Dead People, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're such a fucking Firefly head. Why is that always your first, like, your go-to?
I liked Firefly a lot when I was young.
And I historically, it's fine. It's good actors, good performances. Mm-hmm. I think it might be the Western of it all. And I hate that theme song so much. I hate it. I hate it. I like Serenity, actually, a lot. I like the movie Serenity.
Yeah, I wrote a 10-page paper on it in high school. So I do really like it. But I have not watched it in years and years and years. So I don't no longer trust my own opinion on it, you know?
I wrote a paper on slash shipping in college. And the focal point was Willow and Tara.
Sexy.
Because, you know, I'm a straight woman.
Oh, you're a heterosexual woman. Yeah.
I definitely thought I was then.
Yeah.
You guys are fucking nerds. You guys are nerds. Same here. Fucking nerds.
When I wrote my fucking essay on female friendships and television. Like a heterosexual woman. Sorry, I heard some weird voice telling me that I was a nerd, but I didn't listen.
Gay nerds. Really gay nerds.
What? Okay, some buzzing in my ear.
Some buzzing in my ear. So, and Angel is with Lila, and she's pleased as punch that she gets to continue annoying
also,
him.
Also, Angel is still very much fucked up from Jasmine's beating.
Oh, yeah, his face is all messed up. So, first we go with Gunn, and he's like, splitting us up was very smart, like a good way to get to Angel. And Lacey explains to him that, like, you're actually all assets to us, not just Angel. And Gunn's like, well, I don't exactly see a place for me here. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, he keeps punching down on himself. And we don't. Gwen told you not to do this, and she was right.
Like, baby, no. And I understand this is like a very different kind of environment for him. And also he's in like the belly of the beast and all of these people are evil. Like I get that he's ill at ease, but it breaks my heart when they like walk past the security office and he's like, oh, so this is where you're gonna have me.
Baby boy.
Baby boy, not baby boy. You're worth so much.
Because you're worth it. Both Natalie Imbruglia and Beyonce Knowles told us this.
They did. When they were talking about that, they were talking about you. And he's like, bet I'd look great in one of those blazers. And she's like, I bet you would, but that's not what we have in mind for you.
Can I just go back to that L'Oreal commercial real quick?
Please.
So I love those commercials. Suck With Me Forever, the Beyonce ones, yes. Those were all wigs she was wearing. They were colored wigs.
Mm-hmm.
How are we selling this hair dye when it is not her hair that is being dyed?
She wants you to buy it. And I never, if Beyonce tells never me to do something, I do it.
This is why as a kid I was never like, Mom, I need this L'Oreal hair dye for me because Beyonce. But I did get the red highlights because of Kelly. Again, because I was straight.
So heterosexual of you. He's like, we have grander plans for you. And he smiles. Flattery works.
It does. I've heard.
So with Fred and Knox, Knox is being all, you know, nerdy.
He's being Joss Whedon.
Yeah, he's doing sort of Joss Whedon. Yeah, he's like, I like R&D and D&D. Like, we get it. Yeah. Fred.
The only nerd I want on this show is Sam Witwer, and he's already gone.
Yeah. The only... the only male Whedon nerd I like is Topher from Dollhouse because he like is evil. He's my evil little son.
And he has to reckon with what his evil bullshit has done. You fucking idiot.
Which is cool and necessary. So he does reveal, however, Knox, that Fred would be the head of the department. Like, she would be leading all of this science shit, not him. In the science room, there's black holes, there's surgery, there's skulls, and Knox has made a Palm Pilot that hacks into stuff.
Oh, so he's a creep who hacks into people's tech. Great.
Yeah, he's like, hey, what about this guy whose exact address I know now? And I'm like, that's not a way to tell someone you're not evil. Fucking dang-ass freak.
In terms of, like, their tour guides, like, obviously Lila is number one. I'd put Lacey next. Like, the rest of them can go screw.
Yeah. I
hate that we don't get more of Lorne and his little guy. That guy is a small man.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed more of the entertainment industry jokes. That would have been really fun for me.
It's like 30 pages of like entertainment industry jokes just on the cutting room floor.
Me, give me. So Wes and Dusty, as I call him, they go, like, he's like, here's the big thing I want to show you, the prophecy wing. And it's all these leather-bound books, and you just have to speak the thing you're looking for into it. And if Wolfram and Hart has it in their records, it'll appear on the pages.
Awesome.
Pretty cool, yeah.
And I am also just, without spoiling, just intrigued, and I'm excited to talk about the stuff that does stick from this episode moving into the next season and the stuff that doesn't stick, because there's something I'm like, this should have stuck.
Me speaking Princess Diaries into those books and having a great afternoon. So we reveal that this gentleman, Dusty, if you're nasty, is a former Watcher.
Yeah, and this is our one confirmation that Wes and I guess technically everyone else knows that the Watchers Council is no more. Because we are getting Buffy stuff in this episode, too.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. And he's like, well, there are no Watchers anymore, so, like, I can't be one. And Wes is like, so you're cool joining the other side? And he's like, I don't know. The lines get blurry. And
I'm Dusty like, should okay, be like, I didn't, well, I didn't fuck anyone here, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Get his ass.
Get him. And Wes just, like, fucking decks the guy and takes out his grappling hook and shoots it up into the air. And he's off.
Because if we remember, when he got it set up, he got to, like, test it out, and then he, like, lost his memory, and he was a dang-ass fool with it. So this is the first time he actually used to use it, like, coolly.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous, like, right. Still.
It's very silly. Like,
if a grappling hook situation looks ridiculous on David Boreanaz, I'm sorry, Alexis.
Like, Alexis, it's not that you're not hot. You deeply are. I just, like, a grappling hook is too silly.
You have to, like, be fully, like, dressed as Batman for it to work.
Yeah, you have to be in, like, a spy outfit. So then we move on to Lila and Angel. She takes him to what would be his office.
Ooh.
It has an elevator, so he can, like, go right on a mission if he wants.
And also 12 cars to go on his missions.
Company car. He's like, I don't need 12 cars. And she's like, but you can do whatever you want with them.
I don't want to do whatever I want.
Yeah. He's like, I don't, it's not good for me when I can do whatever I want. So she shows him the feature she thinks he's going to love the most, which I do love this, the windows.
Mm-hmm.
The windows are made out of this, like, specially tempered glass, so they don't let the sunlight through in a way that, you know, like, melts vampires. Mm-hmm. So Angel can comfortably be in the sun inside the Wolfram and Hart office.
And he's says, compelling. Close the curtains, because he doesn't want that temptation in front of him. Yeah. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, he's like immediately like, shut that shit down. Like, you see how affected he is by it. And he's like, no, like, I can't let myself have this because I'll forget what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she uses his speech to Connor against him.
Yeah.
Do they have, like, Angel reruns on in hell?
I bet they do.
It's like Up in Heaven, you watch Angel live, but in hell you have to watch the reruns. Like on TNT. Like,
Lila seeing Rogue Demon Hunter Wes on the reruns and being like, nerd.
You get the live stream in heaven, but in hell you get primetime in the daytime. So you're watching Angel, but you also do have to watch Charmed. And sometimes you're just like, Prue, I can't deal with this.
Oh my god. Does Lila think of Prue?
Lila loves Prue. She fucking hates Paige.
Oh, and I think she has no patience for Phoebe. She's like,
yeah, also, Prue is in hell with Lila.
Prue is in hell with Lila.
I wonder if Kristen has any thoughts on that.
Fast friends. But Prue is like thriving in hell, though.
Yes. Kristen, do you have any thoughts on Charmed Shannon Doherty, Prue Halliwell in hell with Lila Morgan?
Oh my god. Yes.
Girlfriends.
My dream. My best dream. They can kiss each other. They could kiss me. Like, anything could happen.
You're going to hell as well.
I would happily go to hell for like 8 million reasons, but that is a great fucking top of the heap reason. Yeah. In case no one on this podcast who listens to this podcast knows, I fucking love Prue. I love Shannon Doherty. I can't get enough of her. I'm so sorry. And also, you're welcome. Thank you so much for asking me.
Yes. Don't worry, gang. The Cole Turner Cast episode with Kristen is fast approaching, and you will hear the Prue love.
It's a banger.
It should be kept in the vault, actually.
We all get quite hot in it. We get quite warm. But Lila's like, look, this is an opportunity. And, like, you get to choose what to do with all of this stuff. And she's like, but you should probably know, like, 6 innocent people have died since we started having this conversation. And you could have helped them with the resources we're offering you. And then she hands him a big Sunnydale file. And there's, like, you know, a MacGuffin in it that's going to facilitate a Buffy Angel crossover. And I'm like, hell yeah. Angel says Buffy can handle herself, and Lila says, but isn't it more fun when you handle her? I write in my notes, Lila said, do, do, do. Do, do. But Angel's, like, he's like, no, stop singing. Stop doing it. I'm not listening to it.
She sits him down and keeps singing.
He's like, do. She is like, fine. I'll pitch you something else. You can find Connor and Cordelia in 10 seconds if you'll just use the spooky red phone. He's like, excuse me? He doesn't want to do it. He's like, no spooky red phone for me. But the senior partners call, and Lila picks up. And she's like, oh, okay, right away. She turns on the TV. Angel can't believe it. Is that high def? Connor's on TV. He has a bunch of hostages at the mall.
Whoops. Ugh. Yes, Connor has taken hostages and is a domestic terrorist.
It's not as if this was not seen coming by your hosts on this show.
And the fact that no one ever made a Columbine joke directed at Connor is baffling, because the vibes...
Well, we weren't ready to joke back then.
People were doing it.
Yeah, people were. Yikes.
Because I saw there were Matrix Reloaded commercials. People were doing the jokes post-Matrix.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Matrix Reloaded soon. We cut to commercial. We get a PS2 game
PlayStation.
Commercial.
Not even PS2. It's just PlayStation, right?
Oh, yeah, PS game. Then we get a Papa John's commercial for chicken Alfredo pizza.
Because that's what the ladies like. It's very much, this is sophisticated pizza. Like,
yeah, this is a pizza for the girls.
And then we are fucking jamming to the transplants because we got a Garnier Fructis commercial, baby.
Yeah, baby. Woo, woo, woo. I was so excited. I was fucking vibing. We then get a commercial for chocolate milk.
Got chocolate milk. They were getting in on every kind of milk. If this had like been as hot as the got milk ad, they would have done got strawberry milk. I know it.
Oh yeah, 100%. And then we get a Reba finale trailer.
Friday on the WB.
I'm screaming. There's even a little van joke in there. I was so happy.
And then KTLA.
KTLA's coverage of some kind of hazing gone wrong somewhere.
I am curious to look into it, actually. I'm like, what happened?
See, I was not curious because you know what was next? The Matrix Reloaded premiere! I was like, we're at the Matrix Reloaded premiere tonight. And I was like, holy fucking shit! That means Down With Love is coming out this week, too.
Where's those imagine? Commercials? Why am I seeing a fucking Alex and Emma trailer?
Why the fuck am I not seeing a commercial for Peyton Reed's Down With Love? Why the hell? And then Will and Grace is on at 11.
Yeah, that's very important. 11:30, actually, because 11 is Friends.
There's an Ice Cream Man Kohl's commercial.
And it's driving me crazy because I'm like, who is the actor who plays the Ice Cream Man? Because I'm like, I know who this is.
He was familiar to me.
I'm like, I was like trying to look like on Ad Age, and it's like, it wouldn't let me see it for free. And then I like, when I tried to pay, I will pay you $7 just to see this. It wouldn't take my card. It was like, there's an error. Contact the webmaster. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
I'm not talking to any webmaster.
But apparently this commercial only aired like the summer of 2003.
Yes. Then Ocean Spray Lemonade. Then a Jack in the Box with Little Jack. I found myself quite nostalgic for the Jack in the Box with Little Jack commercials. And then we return. Quite a tense moment to have left and seen all of these commercials.
See, I would never have changed the channel during any Mm-mm. of this. I'd be like, I can't miss a single second, but I can't miss a single second of these commercials.
No, they rule. So Angel's choking Lila, and he's like, fucking, like, get Wolfram and Hart to make it stop. And she's like, it is not our fault.
Yeah, don't blame them for your fucked up son. You knew he was going to do something.
You were like, it's like he's going to do something. Last episode.
Like 5 minutes before this episode.
I write in my notes, Angel's big mad. Boreanaz is seething. I really bring in the heat here in terms of the rage. I was like, oh no. She says that he has to choose now. Like, this is a one-time offer, and if he leaves, it's off the table. And he says, like, Wolfram and Hart is everything that's wrong with the world. He's going to decide how it's going to be. All right. Then Gunn is in the elevator, and he is told it's time. No.
He's not happy about it being time.
I don't like that it's time. You don't like that it's time. None of us like that it's time. The fucking secret white button pops up. And she hits it. And he's like, what the fuck? I thought I was being seduced. This sucks.
I don't want to meet Kay Panabaker's replacement.
Please. She killed the role. No one else should do it. And then we go to him in the white room. And he meets a big jaguar.
Jaguar.
And they're looking at each other. So you know I drew the eye emoji. They're just peeping at each other. And he sees himself like reflected in his eyes. It's wild. It's cool to just see it's cool to see a big animal like that. That's always good. Like instant production value. I'm like, ooh. Then in a less fun turn of events, we cut to the mall. And Connor has strapped all of the hostages up with homemade bombs.
There are helicopters outside.
Yeah. Connor yells at a dude who's telling a little girl to shut up.
Yeah, as he should.
As he should, but I'm also like, buddy. Like,
he also makes it weird.
She's crying because of you. He's like, why don't you hold her right? And I'm like, oh, you're going through it a lot, aren't you? Angel shows up. And he jumps down from the big balcony.
It's cool.
A little fucking dummy. back with Wes in the records room. He's punching up a storm. I write in my notes, ask the lady. You know?
ask Flo?
Yeah, ask Flo from Progressive, and then you'll get your file quicker. Lila shows up and is like, wow, not surprised to see you here. Actually thought you'd make it a little faster.
Then she talks about how he likes to take his time when fucking.
She's like, yeah, I know how you like to take your time. And I'm like, I have to go. I must go. They were in love. Are in love. I'm furious. She's like, look at all this shit. Think about what you could accomplish with all of this. And he's like, I didn't sneak away and do this. You wanted me here. And she's like, yeah, idiot. And he's like, but I'm here to release you from your contract. Like, I want you to find peace. And he finds her contract and he burns it. And she's like, that's really cute. But look in the cabinet. There's a new one there. She's like, look, I can't leave, you know, but it does mean something that you tried.
I'm not a stranger. No, I am yours.
Like, they have a beautiful love. Like, this is like the tragic loss of the season to me. And I do think it is tragic. Like, what happens with Angel and Connor. Like, I think it is absolutely, like, brutal. But the replaying of the beat, like, does kind of make it feel a little less novel to me, that it's just, I will remember you again. But this is the real thing that we had and then lost, because I argue we never had, like, Angel and Connor really having a relationship. But we had Wes and Lila having something, and I deserved it to continue. Because it was hot. We go back to the mall. Connor is like, you can't save them all, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Now's not the time to sing Let's Go to the Mall, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait. How did you do a sad version?
Everybody come and play.
Come on, Jessica. Come on, Tori. Let's go to the mall.
You won't be sorry.
Put on your jelly bracelets and your cool graffiti coat.
At the mall, having fun.
It's what it's all about. Very important. But in much more serious news, Connor is going to kill the hostages.
Oh, that makes us nerds? I think that makes us cool.
He's got a, like, oh, God. He's like, I have a bomb on me. Cordy's here, and she's got a bomb on her. You're fucked.
Yeah, all the people are rigged. Commercials, yeah.
And I missed all these commercials, so you're going to have to tell me about them.
You're watching the WB. You're watching the season finale of Angel on the WB.
Woo.
Then there's something about free up from Verizon Wireless. I guess it's like MiFi. It seems that way. Or not actually. It just seems like using a cell phone. I haven't figured out what free up is, and I didn't look it up. And then there was like an actress in it. I'm like, I recognize you. Didn't look it up. It was all about girls still. Then we get the trailer for Alex and Emma starring Luke Wilson and Kate Hudson. You should go on Wikipedia and read the plot because it's insane.
Can't wait.
I'm like, Kate Hudson, she's like, I'm going to catch them all with the Wilson brothers. Because we know God. This. All You Wanted by Michelle Branch plays her in the trailer. Then we get a commercial for, yeah, exactly, Pop-Tart snack sticks. And I'm like, do those even exist anymore? I'm like, that unlocks something.
Yeah, I'd take a snack stick right now.
I write in my notes, so far, nothing is crumb-believable, which I'm actually shocked by.
You're crumb-believable.
We got an Air Force commercial now. Is that kid with a model plane who then joins the Air Force? They're like, wow, the indoctrination, man.
Yeah.
And then, I can't believe you missed these commercials.
I know.
Because you know what the next commercial is, right?
No.
Well, we're going to take a trip to the WB's Big Sunday. And it does say Big Sunday. Like
Yes.
On the WB's Big Sunday, the 2-hour season finale of Charmed. we are at the end of season 5. They are goddesses. They're going after Brian Thompson, who already played a fucking four horseman on the show. He's playing dual roles. It's just like on Buffy. This is the introduction of Chris, a mysterious stranger, they call him. The episode has the title Charmed Goddesses. From the commercial, you can already tell they're flirting up a storm with Chris, this mysterious stranger, despite the fact, I'm like, when did they know that he was related to them? Because the amount of flirting in the season 5 finale and a lot of season 6 suggests they did not know.
Everyone is like trying to fuck Chris, and he is like, you are my mom and my aunts.
Did Piper ever try? Because I know like both Phoebe and Paige tried at a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, Piper, you know, she's taken by the world's worst bum.
Well, because of the bum, she starts fucking other men, so.
Oh, right. She starts.
Season 6, she's fucking other men. And Chris is like, I have to stop this because you're my mom. But it takes a while for him to reveal that. So it's like his aunts are flirting with him every other second.
God, what a weird fucking show.
There's one episode where it's like really bad. It's the episode where they are replaced by like the blonde demons or whatever.
Yes,
and there's like, and it's like one of them is like they act like Chris is like with one of them, like in a relationship. I'm like, no, you know that she's supposed to be pretending to be your aunt. And that's why I asked, when did they know? When did they know they were doing that?
What did they know and when did they know it?
Yes.
And I don't think the answer would soothe us at all.
And then our next commercial is for Washington Mutual, starring a character actor we love dearly, Christian Clemenson, Hans from Boston Legal, Abel Kuntz from Veronica Mars.
Yes, motherfucker.
He is acting in this commercial about a bank that respects you. You need one.
Ooh, I would love a bank that respects me.
Washington Mutual, apparently.
All right, noted.
Then we get a Chance by Chanel commercial. It's really French. Then Jack in the Box has salads for women.
Thank you. We return to the mall, and Angel is trying to talk about Jasmine and like her loss and how hard it was for everybody. But Connor's like, I didn't feel her love. Like, I can't feel anything. Like, I really am your son, huh? Because I'm dead inside.
Yikes. Oh.
Yeah, so this boy's not in a good way.
Yeah, he doesn't want Angel to say sorry because it won't fix anything. And he says it's a lie when Angel tells him he loves him. Because even my dead mother couldn't love me. And I'm like, dude, yes, she could. But then you like were like, let's slaughter a virgin.
Yeah,
that was her. Like, he needs to unpack that part. That was your mom.
I honestly am like, why couldn't you, like, the one deal I'd make with Wolfram and Hart, I'd be like, bring Darla. Like, have him meet someone who loves him.
He would believe it's a lie again because, again, magic. Yeah,
he is.
And also, Angel has, he got his second chance with Lila. Like, Lila. Wow, with Darla. He got his second chance with Darla. Clean.
So, it just, like, sucks. It makes me very upset. Like, Connor acknowledges, like, you tried to love me, but then you let him get me.
Yeah, so it's when he says that, like, you let him keep me, you let him get me. It's like, basically, if you look at Connor as, like, a child of abuse, then things make a lot more sense in the way he's behaving and acting. And that's, it kind of, like, it clicks here.
Yeah. And I wish it could have clicked earlier, you know? Like, I wish it sometimes I think, you know, you save a big climactic reveal like this for the end of a story and you miss a lot of being able to dig into what that actually means and more realities of that thing. Like, I think we should have heard this before, but hearing this here, I started tearing up. I was really fucked up about it. Like, he was just a kid and like Angel let him be taken. Yeah, and obviously, like,
that's not what happened, but like, you know, when you are told like Angel's this big hero, he's this champion, he always saves the day, and he didn't do that with you.
Yeah.
It's a complex.
Oh yeah. And it's it like It's really, really sad. And you see that full thing, like, hit Angel, and he's just, like, he's fucked up by it. Connor continues to talk and says, you know, he feels abandoned by Cordelia, too. And he like, reveals to us that he had the wrong takeaway from Jasmine. Like, he thinks that he, like Jasmine, is unlovable and needs to hide from everyone to be accepted, or they'll turn against him, like he did with Jasmine and like everyone did with Jasmine. And he's like, but Jasmine wanted to give all of these people everything, and they didn't want it. And he's furious about that.
Mm. And because, yeah, think about it. Like, mm-hmm. Connor saw Jasmine's true face the whole time. And if, imagine if he told anyone that, and he was like, this is what I see, and I like it. They wouldn't support it.
Mm-hmm. And he just feels, like, so lost and alone. And Angel's like, I get it. I want to give you everything. I want to help you start over. And he's like, there's no fucking starting over for me.
He says death's the only way to change things.
Anything else is a lie. And he can't be saved by a lie. He can't be saved at all. Brutal. Really well done. Like, absolutely, like, devastating. Like, I wish that I had instead enjoyed Connor's presence on this show for more of this season. I would still pick that over having this good scene, but I don't want to say this isn't a good scene, and that, like, his soliloquy in the last episode isn't a good scene.
It's because the things he's going through in general aren't enjoyable. Like, it's you could tweak things, but, like, what he's actually going through, like, it's not palatable, really.
But I think there's a way to do it. I just, like, I mean, not to, you know, sit here and us pitch until we find the thing, but, like, I just do think there were ways to dramatize these things that didn't break the show in the way that I feel like it did. And I think so much of my issue has to do with that this is on top of what they're doing with Cordelia and how his stuff is so intertwined with the bad Cordelia stuff this season, which is just brutal.
Regarding Cordelia and Charisma specifically, I did say in my notes during the opening credits, I'm like, I'm just happy at least, as she was number two on the call sheet, and, like, she wouldn't, like, have a set number of episodes, like, she's gonna be in all the episodes, basically, her and Boreanaz. It's like, so she had to get paid regardless of, like, whether she's in this episode sleeping or not in an episode at all. Like, he could, like, Josh couldn't fuck her out of her money, basically, for this season.
Yeah. Which, you know, at least there's that. The boys fight. Angel saves some hostages. He sweeps the leg.
He does.
And he ends up over Connor with a knife.
After throwing a knife into the back of his leg.
Yeah, and then he wrenches it out, and he's, like, towering over him. And he's like, I do really love you, and I'm going to prove it.
And then we hear a slice as it gets white, and I will just say, you know what's funny?
What?
The father will kill the son ended up being real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoops.
Oop.
Sajan's fuming in hell.
That should have been me.
Miss you, Wesley's Sajan. Like, wait. Love you, Sajan. Anytime you want to hit me up, Sajan, give me my phone number. Okay, bye.
Wesley can't even be like, fuck, because as we see later, he has no reason to know why to say fuck.
Ugh. So back at Wolfram and Hart, Lauren's singing Something's Coming, which is a fave of mine. So I was vibing hard. Lauren starts dancing with Fred, which I love. He twirls her and she spins off into Wes. And I'll admit, like, I'm a sap for that.
Yeah, it's not like a moment. So it's fine.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. So, you know, I got a little juice there. And Gunn shows up. He comes out of the elevator, and Fred's like, you look taller. And he's like, I'm doing this. You can join me or not, but, like, I'm doing it.
And then his bro Wes says, I agree.
Woo!
The boys are back in town.
And Fred's like, really? And then Angel's like, I already took the deal. I made an executive decision. Yikes. Lila is impressed. And Angel's like, everything's taken care of, right? And she's like, yeah, Cordy's safe. She's still in a coma. But if there's a way to get her back, we'll find it. Okay. And one more thing. Angel's like, there's one more thing to the deal. I have to see him. And Lila's like, that wasn't part of the deal. And he's like, well, it's a fucking part of the deal now. Take me to him. Mm-hmm.
And she says she will, as she also gives him the amulet and the Sunnydale file. So I think he's going to go see him and then go to Sunnydale.
Yeah, I said Lila hands over the Buffy Angel crossover MacGuffin and he goes to the limo. He's like, the limo outside will take you to Connor. And Angel says, thank you, and leaves. And Fred says, who's Connor?
Twist!
They did the thing!
I wonder if there's anyone else who has an opinion about the thing that has been done. Or anything that's happened in this episode.
Are you inviting me to my corner?
Yes, go stand in your corner right now.
You think about what you did.
Kristen's Corner, Kristen's Corner. It's all Riley Dotson, what the fuck, and Cordy is hot. Kristen's Corner is the place for very deep thoughts.
Yeah, well, the first thing that I thought, honestly, about this was, man, Angel sure does carry a lot of baggage. They just keep stacking things on this guy that nobody else remembers. It's just him and the world remembering all of the fucking pain, and no one else has to remember.
How many times do you think this has actually happened to him? Not just the twice that we've seen?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the total count is probably at least 14 times, right? Like, if we're... Well, actually, let's do the math. We've seen Angel... For 4 years? Five? Mm-hmm. No.
Well, four years
four
on this show.
And then three.
So 7 years.
7 years.
7 years, two times. And he is like 145?
He's in his 200s.
Okay. He's in his two. Okay, I'm in fucking season spike over here. I'm underaging him.
He's mid 200s.
All right, so let's call it 200. Okay, so 200.
And we're not even factoring his hell years because that puts things in there.
Oh, yeah. So if it's two times, guess who can't do the whole math? It's me. But it's a lot of times.
Okay? This is embarrassing.
Five. So you said he's in his 200s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Morgan's pocket protector is out. You see what I mean? Like, you're ready to go. Do you have a protractor?
Since her boobs aren't out, her pocket protector is.
You wish. You wish my boobs were out.
I like that you're like trying to joke, but you're so concerned with the math that you're like
57 times. Roughly say we're rounding to a whole time, 57 times.
Can we play the hell math jingle for Morgan Luditch, please?
Hell math.
I eyeballed it, but I did some long division in my notes.
He probably wishes one of those things was. No, he wants to remember the puppy because he's good Angel. And jealous wishes
he could
he didn't remember the puppy. Yeah.
I do love when he saves the puppy.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to do again, I guess, but it's so different that I'm like, that's fine. I want to point out that I'm pretty sure that Connor is still drinking milk in his new family's house.
Oh, absolutely. Those are a bunch of milk drinkers.
I was trying to look, but I think they're all drinking wine.
No,
because it was
the parents are drinking wine.
Yeah.
The little sister is drinking milk, and it was like, me too, yeah. Morgan. I was tracking that glass every time.
I was trying.
What's in the glass?
You know what the milk was? That was in the fucking, the Papa John's commercial?
Yeah. To have your chicken Alfredo pizza with a nice glass of milk.
It was a big old, it was a pitcher of milk.
Yeah, yes, I gagged off mic when you said chicken Alfredo, but without the milk, before there was even milk. Chicken Alfredo pizza.
I bet that chicken Alfredo pizza
is
actually fucking rule.
Have your milk pizza with your milk.
That's a lot of dairy, guys.
Your chicken milk pizza.
Ew. Okay. Why are you like this?
We gotta get a handle on this shit. I know it's your finale, but let's not get too crazy.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad that, like, Connor Angel is, like, happy and doesn't know that his last name is actually Angel, but I don't know.
That his father is Geraldo Angel?
is that his father is Geraldo Angel. But, like, I agree with, I mean, maybe you didn't talk about it a ton, Morgan, but I heard you saying, like, I think it was you saying that, like, it would have been nice if, like, Darla was the wish, or, like, if something, I would have liked to see Connor Angel find his happiness inside of his actual reality instead of a fabricated reality. But I also assume that this means that Connor Angel will no longer be on the series Angel. So, like, for that reason, no offense to you, beautiful Carthizer, but I am glad.
Also, we know that Kristen has no memory of the show. So, like, she is not giving anyone spoilers or anything.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
She has, like, no idea what's going on next.
I think my whole thing overarching is and I think you feel somewhat the same way too, LaToya. Like, I resent hitting the reset button here. I resent how much of the show I feel was broken apart this season and then swept under the rug and never minded by the end. And I think that is a bunch of Cordelia character assassination that turns out to, yes, be her being Jasmine. But for a long time, I had to watch Cordelia Chase neg Connor Angel until they fucked. Ugh. And that's traumatic, and I will never scrub that from my brain.
Traumatic, but it is hilarious how it happens. You've never had a family or a real life. I'll fuck you.
I'll fuck you, though.
That's the funny part that I like when it's in the previously. It's not the showing them fucking, but that
the
part
negging.
Where it's like
the negging, yeah.
You're just a fucking useless bitch piece of shit.
So you might as well just got it. Little bust. It truly it just, like, bums me out. Like the like petrification of, like, the limb of this show that is Cordelia Chase, and then deciding we're just gonna cut the thing off and, like, be done with it and do this new thing. I resent it. I think it's really bad TV. I don't think that TV can't reinvent itself and go through eras and evolve and change based on, you know, stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Sometimes really valid stuff that's going on behind the scenes where you have to fire someone because they're not behaving correctly, et cetera. But I just don't know how to, I struggle to separate it from the, like, reality of what was going on with Joss and Charisma at the time. And I just feel like it's spitting in the face of people who liked the first three seasons. I feel like so much of this season is filching on the contract you make with the viewers when you have a television show. You know, you say, these are the people, this is the mission, here's what we're going to be doing every week. And I think a lot of this season is, like, in an attempt to be introspective, crawls up its own butthole to be like, what if, is any of this good? And I'm like, well, not when you jerks write it.
See, and you know that's how I feel a lot about season five. So.
Yeah. And I know, I think for me, five, I mind less because they're trying a different thing. Whereas this season, they're like, and this isn't this the angel you love? And I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, listeners are going to hate me during season five. Because
well, actually, stay tuned to find out why.
Because actually, John Mark, don't cut it out. Just bleep it. Bleep, do a long bleep, please. Because I'm going to be like,
for his, I'm not, like, just the only good thing about no other good things.
Yes.
Something that I this isn't a spoiler, but I feel like it is worthy of me talking about in this corner here is also that, like, this is the finale. This is 22 for you guys and 21 for us. The penultimate episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer ends with Angel and Buffy kissing? And, yeah, I know, Morgan, you just want to fucking do down the street. But that, You will get your chance in New York City in the finale to Morgan has turned around on the Zoom screen, so we only see her back, and she did the fake like gropey hands, like where you hug yourself.
Like when it looks like you're making out with someone.
And LaToya has her head in her hands.
Disgusting.
Like, they like each other.
Okay, whatever. First of all, whatever. We can argue about that. We can take it to
the
mats.
Well, now we know he was emotional because he just lost his dumb child.
Yeah,
but like, also, like, it just feels like an extension of this assassination of everything Cordelia to me, which is why I'm upset. Is like,
oh yeah, it doesn't feel right, and I don't. And moving forward into the finale, I'm gonna be like, I don't like any of this. Actually,
yeah.
Again, okay, Morgan, I know you, like, Buffy and Angel, blah blah blah. I said 5 million times, like, Buffy and Angel, yeah, in the first 3 seasons of Buffy. After that, it's just immature and petty.
Yeah, even,
I like I Will Remember You. Don't worry, everyone. Don't like, get your pitchforks.
Yeah, that's a particular thing.
Pretty good ones.
Okay.
Shut up, Morgan.
Talking under her fucking breath. But yeah, all I mean, just, I don't mean to cause, you know, a ruckus in here. But
cause the fucking ruckus.
All I mean to say is just that, like, it feels like, in terms of assassinating a character and an actress, that it wasn't even just done in your universe, that they came over to fucking our universe and did the same shit. It was like, like, she never existed. I'm like, sorry guys, I was watching the television show Angel, and like, they had a true and deep love. Like, that was real.
Also, you've been watching the television show Buffy, especially in season 7. It's like, maybe I don't think this is what she's into. I don't think she wants to kiss or fuck anyone anymore.
No, and certainly not fucking Angel. But like, come on, Morgan, I support you and your doo-doo-doos all day long. I really do. But that shit is fucking ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I do think there is a mutual understanding between the two of them that I always find like very powerful in terms of their like post season 3 of Buffy interactions. Mm-hmm. Like, they are both like very much burdened by the mantles that have been forced on them or taken on by them. And I think they both do really, like, see each other as, Cougar Town put it best. She's a someday girl. It's not now.
Right.
It's like someday.
I don't buy it, but I also love you. So I support
That's
you.
That's fair.
I'm just saying, some fucking respect on Cordelia Chase's name in my universe and your universe, and I'm mad about it, especially seeing that connective tissue, because I don't think I would have seen that if it weren't for like doing these two podcasts at the same time. I'm like, wait.
Yeah. And it's really shitty to Cordelia, and like, I can't get over that part. Like, she's a crucial part of this show, and you don't even really get to say goodbye before she's gone at all. And she leaves with no fanfare, you know, which is like incredibly disrespectful to your actors who you're supposed to protect. You know, especially your number one and two on your call sheet. That's your job as a creator, to make those people feel, you know, instrumental and safe. And it's like a huge failure and disservice, and fuck Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Great. That's that. What a great way to fucking roll out of my last corner of season 4. did you need my did you require my opinions on any other matters here at the end of season 4?
I mean, what do you think about the gang taking over the LA branch of Wolfman and Hart?
I have to say that I am, so as everyone knows, I don't remember really anything about this, so I don't even have the opportunity to spoil you, but I will say that, like, from my first viewing when I left, like, I thought that they were at Wolfram and Hart for, like, many, many seasons, because when they are at Wolfram and Hart, like, that just stuck so deeply in my memory. It could be because we watched Buffy and Angel at the same time, and so it means that I would have watched season 5 just of Angel, you know, like, I wouldn't have had it like staggered. But I'm excited about the change. I think it's a cool concept. Like, I think it's a cool, like, wait, can the good guys be the good guys from, as Lila says, like, inside the belly of the beast? Well, we're inside the belly of the beast, so what the fuck does that mean? Like, I think it's interesting. And I'm glad to get out of the hotel. I'm glad to have like a new rhythm and a new.
I mean,
I'm not.
That set's an all-timer.
Yeah, I love that set. I'm really sad to be walking away from it. I don't know. I consider it like it's not season 5 of Angel. It's a spinoff of Angel.
Yeah.
That has most of the cast of Angel in it.
Like the final season of Scrubs?
Yeah.
I think it's better than that. Scrubs, but yeah, that's a solid, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I think ultimately it all comes together to be like, this is a whole piece, but like, yeah. It's because it's also it's not just Final Season of Scrubs. It's in terms of what they're doing with the show, because as we know, show very serialized, especially season 4. It's Alias season 3. Alias season 4, where they're like, you got to be episodic, and then at least in this case, they don't air everything out of order like they did for Alias season 4, where it's like it's a very serialized show. The network's like, we got to calm down. It's like, and also on the network itself. Smallville season 3 was like the darkest season. It's a great season. And so they're like, you need to be fun and like episodic, like the next season. And that's it's mixed results with that kind of thing.
Do you know? I mean, we know because we live in the year 2022 that Angel has 5 seasons. So we know that we're going into the final season, season 5. But do either of you know in terms of the behind the scenes shit, like, did they know they were writing their last season? They did
no,
not.
Because no,
they did not.
The smart kids shook their heads so vehemently,
infamously. So despite it being a hit show for them, every season it would get renewed very late. So Joss asked that they would get renewed earlier, because again, they were a hit show for them. Because the crew every year was always like, I don't know if we're gonna have another season, if this will be our job.
Yeah,
and they wanted to like lock down their crew and stuff. And instead, the guy who was running the WB at the time was like, I'll just cancel you instead, basically spitefully.
Maybe he was.
And then the WB like died like the season after.
Yeah.
Wow. And weren't they like, they were really, really at the end. Like, my recollection is like they had like 2 episodes to end it.
Yeah, it was towards the end. I think the news dropped also like on Valentine's Day or something like that.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad for me and anyone like me that I asked that.
Because the season 6 also would have been very expensive.
Okay, I'm going to leave my corner because I'm taking up a lot of space, even though it is the finale. So it's a finale corner. So it's a larger square footage. But thanks for, another season worth of corners. I appreciate you both. And also fucking standing ovation for Lila Morgan, who I think is super hot. I agree. But also delivers a fucking phenomenal performance. Mm-hmm. She really fucking puts it down in this episode. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But thank you. Miss you. See you in season 5. Actually,
bye.
See you in New York City for the finale of Buffering the Vampire Slayer, but then in season 5.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner.
We should talk about this Connor scene. Angel takes a sad limo ride. I see the limo go through the hills and sad music plays. He pulls up to a woodsy cabin and he creeps in the shadows and watches Connor have a family dinner.
Like he's Elijah Michelson.
Like he's fucking Elijah Michelson.
In the bayou.
They would. They are the same. These motherfuckers. Neither of them can close.
For different reasons.
Yeah. Connor's in the top 10 percentile of his, his class or whatever. He's got a girlfriend named Tracy. He's going to college and he can go wherever he wants.
Tracy was a big deal in this writer's room because Tracy was also the KTLA anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, white men.
But most importantly, this Connor that we're seeing is a kid.
Yeah.
He's a kid. He's like laughing and smiling, and he seems to have genuine like connections to the people around him, and he's been raised by people that are really proud of him. And his dad starts making a toast, and he's like, boo, your toast is dumb. I'm going to make the toast. And it's to family. And Angel skulks off into the shadows,
content,
never to know his son. Woof.
He's going to go off to make out with Buffy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Like, if anything, they should, like, fuck when he sees her.
Like, he immediately turns the angels again. And that's when we finally get our true Angel-Buffy crossover. They see how cool Wes is now. Willow and Fred finally fuck, too.
Finally. See, all of these are good ideas.
They meet Gunn. Xander is immediately emasculated.
Good. Necessary.
Robin Wood and Gunn, best friends, because they're black.
Oh, that sounds good to me. I would like that. Faith and Gunn. Faith and Gunn, finally.
Finally. Fun has arrived.
But yeah, Angel did this thing for his son. And of course, because he's a stinky little martyr, he's going to bear the memory of it alone for the rest of forever. And I'm struggling to word how I feel about this.
I think it's less skulking, though. I did write in my notes that it was content-ish. I think he is not perfectly happy, obviously. There is a peace.
Definitely, like, definite relief. Yeah, that his son is okay, even if that means he can't be a part of his life. Like, I do see that this is, like, positive in a lot of ways.
If you're gonna, like, do a retcon, if you will, it's not necessarily a retcon. It's like, it's the best way of, like, writing yourself out of this corner.
Yeah. And it just,
it really is. The show wrote itself so dark, and also dark in a way a network show was not, like, the show was ready for it, but, like, network television was not ready for it. And
I was like, not ready for it.
It's like, again, to bring up Alias, season 3, which is when it was like, okay, we have to stop being serialized. They were forced to, like, cut out some very dark shit. It's like, okay, guys, you need to stop. I think they made him change with the season finale, because it's like, it just made, like, Victor Garber, like, an unrepentant, like, villain, too. It's like, okay, JJ, you're out of control.
He's wild.
And he was right to do it, though, is the thing. Also, Justin Theroux was on that season. He, like, did a British accent. He was in the pocket of doing accents this time.
God, Justin Theroux, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, call me.
please call me. Call me doing
my
an accent.
My phone number is.
You could do your British accent. You could do your Irish accent. I don't care.
Whatever dialect you're working on, I am here.
Whatever tongue work you want to do.
I have to go. I guess that's season 4. And it's got a bunch of good stuff in it. It's got some really, really rough stuff in it. But I'm glad to have watched it with you, buddy.
Did you prefer this or the penultimate? Because both technically are season finales.
This. I prefer this, I think. Yeah, I like the... it feels more like a finale for the other characters. Mm-hmm. At least, like, they're all kind of, like, ruminating on what they want and what they're looking for. And I'm interested in the show as an ensemble more than I think sometimes the show is interested in being an ensemble.
There is, like, a forward momentum for our ensemble in this episode.
What about you? Which do you prefer?
I think I think this is it. This is it. I mean, there's stuff I loved about, like, the previous episode, but, like, joking about, like, the effects of the hell world. And I mean, I like a lot of the things brought up, and I like a lot of the concepts brought up in the season. And obviously the season works more for me than it does for you, but, like.
But I don't, like, begrudge you this, your enjoyment of
this season. Oh, no, obviously you're going to hold this against me for the rest of my life.
I mean, yeah, I mean. Will our relationship ever be the same? Probably not. But no. You gave me more appreciation for this season of television than I was ever going to have for it in this year. And I hope that I made you dislike it a little more.
I mean, yes, we'll always have our disdain for that love triangle.
They can't take that
for the agenda.
Ugh, the agenda. Any final thoughts on season four before we close it on out?
Well, I think I should do the final commercials we have.
Please.
So we got, again, KTLA reminding us of hazing and The Matrix Reloaded. Very important. We've got Shakira gyrating in the sand to make a peace symbol because that was early aughts feminism and that was for Reebok. Mm.
Thank you, Reebok. Thank you, feminism.
Got one of the classic MasterCard commercials where they give you the prices and there's like, there are some things that money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
Priceless!
Yes. Okay, then a Claritin D commercial, and then we get the grr, arg.
Grr, arg. Well, now that we've grr, arg, now that we've seen all of the commercials, LaToya, I think it's time for Fuck Watch.
It is. It is. Flirting, understanding, consent, and kissing. Flirting, understanding, consent, and kissing.
Fuck Watch. Hey, LaToya, who are you fucking?
Shakira in that Reebok commercial. Again, she was gyrating all over the place in that sand.
Hell yeah, I am fucking Lila Morgan's ghost. And I'm taking a tour of her closet because I really like her little blouses with this like little neck detailing.
Her hell closet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's Fuck Watch. LaToya, I really like feel that I got the experience of watching the WB by watching this VHS rip that Bree provided us with. Again, thank you, Bree. It felt so good and so safe and so right. I know Angel's in a bad way right now, but maybe, just maybe, if he turns on the WB, he can feel a little bit better. What would you recommend he watch?
Hit it, bitch.
WB.
They got that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma, and here's the episode that he needs to see.
Oh, yeah.
So we saw a lot of WB shows in these commercials. Mm-hmm. And the answer is obviously, oh my god, is part one and part two from Charmed. He needs to fucking just chillax to the max right now. Krista Viranoff co-wrote the episode. She was on one. He'll see Brian Thompson. He'll be like, isn't that the judge? But it won't be a problem because he'll be vibing. He'll be like, oh, Chris, I wonder if he's anyone's son. He seems well-adjusted.
Here's the thing. In my experience, when you watch Charmed, you don't have any serious or sad thoughts. You only have happy and frivolous thoughts, and I want that for him. And that's what he needs. Oh, good for him.
Let me hit you with this promo, baby. This promo poster. Please. There's one in black and white too, because you know they were wildin'.
Hell yes.
Do 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 do.
Yes. Oh my god. As if I didn't remember blonde goddess Phoebe. As if it was not burned into my memory. Charmed goddesses. They must be obeyed.
They must. And then here's the black and white.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Make it your background immediately.
I actually need this as my phone background.
Yes.
Okay. Noted. and I guess... On that note, we should scurry off into plugs. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AngelOnTopCast. You can go to angelontop.com to join us on Patreon. We have a lot of fun stuff going on. We just did our live watch for Expecting, where Cordelia gets Ken Marino bug pregnant. And we're doing our live watch for Guys Will Be Guys on September 20th, when we're back from New York. We're going to be walking here. It's going to be pretty cool. And you should hang out for the Cole Turner cast. It's great. Kristen's on it. Jenny's on it. Jill, Michael, Frankie, Stephanie, everyone you could ever care about is on the Cole Turner cast, and they're talking about Cole Turner. So you should be too. Also, we will be back for season 5 coverage in mid-October. So keep an eye on socials and you'll find us returning to talk about the gang running Wolfram and Hart. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at Lorgan Mudich on whatever platform you so choose. LaToya, where can the people find you, and should they?
No, thank you.
And until next time, you are now, for the last time, checking out of the Hyperion. Ding, ding.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.